The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Right, now, we are going to talk about the new streaming service.
Yeah, this is Paramount Plus, and I know that people probably roll their eyes to their skies because there's been a number of streaming services on the Irish market for the last number of years. Obviously, we've got Netflix, we've Amazon Prime, we've Disney Plus, we've Apple TV, you've got YouTube Premium. The list goes on and on and on. So why would another player come into the market? Well, Paramount Plus has a collection of providers. So there's Showtime, CBS, Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, MTV and Paramount Pictures. So that's a decent suite of, or a decent catalogue of content.
And they own all of that stuff.
Exactly it. And they also have live TV output. So this has been running in the US for the last number of years. Initially, when it launched back in 2014 in the US, it was called CBS Access. And it gave people the option to watch on-demand content or live TV. So if you didn't have a TV cable coming into your home, you could pay your subscription fee and either watch on demand or live content. Since then, as I said, it's gone through a number of different iterations. They've partnered up with different partners. They now have this incredible catalogue. And what they're doing here in Ireland is for $7.99 a month, you can get access to all of that content. So all of the different bits and pieces. So whether you're into SpongeBob SquarePants or Star Trek, all of the content is there for you. But I actually think that these guys are the ones to watch out of everyone, and they could leave the likes of Netflix behind them because they have that proven track record when it comes to the combination of live TV plus on-demand content. They also, in the US, they're not here, but in the US, they have a whole host of sports rights as well.
Okay.
So for the last number of years, they've had exclusive rights for the UEFA Champions League, for example, in the US. So they've kind of been chipping away at this. It's sort of bubbling under the surface. And I do think that as they expand, I think it's going to be in 45 markets by the end of this year. It could absolutely dominate because they have so much experience and they've big players involved here as well.
See, what's interesting is whether or not players like Paramount Plus, who own the Paramount Pictures catalogue, do you know the way on a Saturday afternoon in the winter you might tune on to RTE2 to watch a movie or whatever it might be, and it could be a Paramount Pictures. Will these guys be kind of depriving conventional broadcasters of what they regarded as fairly cheaply obtained content?
I would say that that's not beyond the realms of possibility going forward. Like a lot of these movies, I scrolled through, I've been using Paramount Plus for the last few days. The interface is great. You get a 7-day free trial and $7.99 thereafter. But a lot of those are the movies that used to be the big movie on a Saturday night, for example, on RTE, where you would just dip in, you wouldn't turn it off, it was off. But the thing that I mentioned that's the key point of difference here is that in the US, they have the live content. So if you want to sit down and just have something on in the background, you could put on, say, the 24-hour movie channel and just dip in and out of movies as you go, rather than having to sort of slog through the entire content. So I think that these guys could be a real contender and definitely shake things up, particularly at a time when, you know, we know that Netflix is struggling. We know that different players are considering ads. Again, Paramount Plus already have precedent in this regard in the US. They have a plan that's $4.99 in the US if you want to have ads, or you can pay $10 for the premium plan, which has no ads.
Okay.
So they've been testing all of this for such a long time now that, I don't know, it's interesting.
Okay, and their offer here is for ad-free?
Ad-free for $7.99 at the moment. Now, as we know, they start out at these prices and then bit by bit they creep up. So I don't imagine it to stay at this price forever. However, it's a good sort of price point at an entry level. I would recommend you go in, sign up for the 7-day free trial, see if there's stuff that you want, but please, please, please put a reminder in your phone for 7 days' time to cancel the free trial so you don't get charged.
Is Sky going to bundle any of these?
Yeah, so if you are a Sky customer, you can actually get access for free. So if you just head on onto the Sky website, there's the full breakdown of how you get access to it. But it's free on the Sky, and they have that's their partner. They have different partners in different parts of the world.
But you've got to be signed up to Sky Cinema.
Cinema, exactly it. So it's similar enough to the different add-ons that they've done with different streaming partners in the past. But if you head over to the Sky website, you'll find the full details. But as I said, I think it's actually one to watch.
Okay, and like, you know, Netflix, what do people think of when Netflix? They think of perhaps Ozark. They think of
still House of Cards, Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black. So what will Paramount do in terms of new production?
Well, they are bringing out a whole suite of new productions. There's the one that's causing a bit of a stir now is The First Lady. This is about Michelle Obama, essentially. It's a dramatised version and it's getting a good sort of write-up online. They're investing quite heavily. I think it's 150 titles that they're going to be working on over the next wee while. And not only do they have that broad catalogue of movies and TV shows and dramas and documentaries there, they are pumping a lot of money into it. And the fact, again, that they have the ads, the fact that they have broadcast partners means that they've got multiple revenue streams. So they're not running into the same issues and the same sort of maze walls that perhaps the likes of Netflix has done in the past. So I think it's an interesting one.
Now, questions from our listeners. iPhone 8 is what I have at the moment. Are they likely to have new software that will reduce the power of my phone? Will I have to get a new one?
Okay, this is not good news, I'm afraid. So the iPhone 8 is quite old now and iOS 14 is coming out later this year, so in around September or thereabouts.
iPhone which?
It's iOS 14.
iOS 14.
Yeah. Now, I've been testing the beta version of it on an iPhone 13 for the last few weeks, and I am ready to throw the phone off the roof. It is very frustrating. It is very buggy. Now, that's the whole point of beta, is to try and identify these things. But it's draining a lot.
Okay. But they may sort that out if it's draining a lot.
They've made improvements in terms of the draining of the battery, but in terms of draining on the processor, there's the always-on display. It's going to cause a lot of drain. Now, if memory serves, I think you have to have iPhone 8 or newer to get iOS 14, so your phone should work, but I think you will notice a massive drain in performance.
And since you're doing the beta test, what does it offer? What's different? What's better? What's wonderful?
The big thing is the customization of the home screen, which I know sounds ridiculous, but you can now add widgets onto your lock screen. You can customize the font of your lock screen. You can get better access to certain parts of information. You can also, say if you order something online, you can get update notifications on your device rather than having to go into your email or to the particular app. It'll come up on your home screen as part of your Apple Wallet. So it at the moment, it seems a lot of it is cosmetic. But the big things in the beta version for me have been the battery has just depleted. It runs quite hot. But they are fixing these little bugs over time. And it should be all good to go by August or September of this year.
Another iPhone question. How reliable are oxygen monitors on the iPhone Watch?
So if you have the latest Apple Watch, the Apple Watch 7 and indeed the Apple Watch 6, they have been invested in quite heavily to have almost, and I'm not 100% sure, so I would say close to medical grade information. I know, for example, people who have received letters from cardiologists and they've been advised, if they can, to get an Apple Watch because the content is quite good. So you get real-time ECG, you get the oxygen level, you get this fall detection. There's a whole host of medical technology that's been built into the Apple Watch 6 and 7. The lower Apple Watches don't tend to have a lot of those medical grade features.
Are the medical grade features acceptable to the medical profession?
To a certain extent, I think that they are. And again, I know this anecdotally from friends and family and so on, that there are medical experts who advise that patients wear the Apple Watch and then print off things like whether it is the ECG and so on.
Okay. This one is about photography. I take photographs on my phone, which look great on my phone screen. Then I transfer them to my laptop. They look great on my laptop screen, but then I print them and they don't look great at all.
Yeah, that is a pain in the face. I think what you can do and what I would recommend is that when you are transferring the photos, whether they are going from your phone to the cloud to a printer or to the laptop to a printer, ensure that you're keeping it at the original quality. So sometimes when you send photographs, whether that is through WhatsApp, through a text message, through Teams, the file can get compressed and you can lose some of that detail. So say, for example, if there are sharp lines on the horizon or whatever it might be, you can lose that because because the file gets compressed and it becomes a little bit speckly. So
okay, so what do you do on your printer setup? Is it
no? Or? It's on the phone itself. So ensure that you are sending it in. It usually depends on what you're doing. And if you're uploading to the cloud in your cloud provider, so whether that is Google Photos or Dropbox or whatever it might be, ensure that it is saved to original quality, save as original quality. And then if you're emailing it to yourself, it'll give you the option of original compress or small. So if you just click
so
the original.
A lot of the time people might be printing compressed pictures
exactly.
and not getting the quality. What about the printers? Can they handle the best quality and deliver?
Your average printer that a lot of us would have just to print, you know, the college essay or bits and pieces like that, the telephone bill and so on, probably not. If you want the best quality, you will have to invest in your printer and ensure that you have good quality paper, good quality ink. So I would say the standard printer, probably no. But there are so many online printing services that you can do now. So if you want high quality prints, they're still very affordable. Yeah, they're very, very affordable and the quality is worth it.
All right, Jess Kelly, thank you very much. And that's all we've time for. A reminder that our items from today are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by Go Loud. Just search for The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on Newstalk.